Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for NBC's newest superhero, Connection Man.
Connection Man, Connection Man, connecting to all the hearts she can. Observe field, speed of light, need requests, or inner sights. Look out, here comes Connection Man. R to the A.
Connection Man, Connection Man, connecting to all the hearts that she can. Did you guys catch that, listeners? Connection Man, hearts that she can. What's up, Team Humanity? How's everyone feeling today, spiritually, mentally, and physically? Welcome to Simba Radio, brought to you by True North House Publishing and Productions, the brainchild of Diane Diamond and the love child of Avril Guthrie. My parents gave me the name Anthony Raymond Scruggs, and I am the spiritual DJ at True North House Publishing Productions. My friends call me Tony. My teammates call me Scruggsy. My fraternity brothers call me, I'm just going to keep that to myself, yeah. And the universe calls me Simba, spirit, mind, and body, with inspiration and abundance mixed in. And you know what, guys? I am here to offer you a gift. I'm here to offer you hope and inspiration, encouragement and transformation. I'm here to offer you respect, inclusion, connection, equality, and acceptance. I am here as the empathy guy to offer you mindful empathy, a way of speaking and being where we can change how we think, feel, and behave, and learn how to connect to ourselves and others. And I'm here to offer you empathy and compassion. Now, let's get to it. Today's special guest, Todd Barandi, is the author of a new offering by True North House Publishing Productions, titled Awakening Self. That's Awakening Self. And he's also, as I just kind of mentioned, one of my spiritual siblings at True North House Publishing and Productions. Speaking of which, before you actually meet Todd, let me remind you guys of some of the gems that True North House has to offer. There's Love You, How to Live in Love, by the aforementioned Diane Diamond. There's The Magic of Mandela from Michelle Wright and the aforementioned Avril Guthrie. You have Cuban Angel, Courage Without Limits by Maria Fernandez, Lost in Light by Taryn Schlabusch. Please say I got that right, Taryn. By Taryn Schlabusch, not to mention a book that I actually describe as the modern-day guide to being the change, how to stay in one's truth no matter what comes at you, titled The Booty Chronicles by the Swedish gangster herself, Åsa Sjöberg. And there's a bunch of other literary goodies as well. But let's get to the main event. Are you ready? Now, let's do this.
Well, so wait a minute, Tony, I've got to stop you there. You know, you can't give a shout out, quality shout out like that, not mention True North House's very own mentor to mindful empathy. I believe you know the book I'm talking about, Excellence Off the Field by you.
Wow. Thank you, Todd. As Todd said, Excellence Off the Field is my offering. It's the ultimate guide to mindful empathy. And along with Todd's book, Awakening Self, and the other books that I mentioned, they are all available on Lulu.com, Barnes & Noble. What is the other place? All the online
Amazon
bookstores that you can think of. Amazon. Thank you, Todd. Amazon is exactly what I'm thinking. So, with all that said, welcome to the show, Todd. How are you flowing today?
Very well. I've been looking forward to this all day.
I'm liking that. And I'm I'm under the impression that when we talk about awakening self, that you use questions to both quiet distractions and identify labels. Tell us about that.
So there are plenty of people out there that will talk to 10 easy steps to do this, or a 10-step guide, or a five steps to enlightenment. And so there are plenty of those books out there. This book is designed more to give you the opportunity to find your own steps. And it's designed around the art of the questions, not trying to get people to believe in answers. And the book is really about the opportunity to, like you had said, to give yourself the opportunity to get quiet and to listen to the whispers of your own wisdom.
Did you guys catch that? The whispers of your own wisdom. I dig that. And you know what was really exciting about the thought of talking to you today was, one of my favorite ideas to share with people is that the quality of our lives is the quality of our questions. And here you are helping raise consciousness by allowing us to inquire within in the form of questions and options. And actually, you know what, guys? I actually missed a part. Here's what I wanted to share about Todd. I wanted to say that Todd is a spiritual being experiencing life as an awakener. And let me say that again. He is an awakener, and that's in relation to being a teacher. And his offering to the world, we just mentioned awakening self, is an exploration into empowering you, the listeners, empowering you to inquire from within. Todd actually offers you a roadmap of questions and options in an effort to not only, and let me know if this is how you perceive it, Todd, not only to raise your individual consciousness, but as a result, raise the collective consciousness of team humanity. Is that accurate, Todd?
And that's a great way to sum it up, Tony. I think that is, in order for us to get to a point where we are a community of beings, we have to get to the point where we understand ourselves. And the collection of questions in this book is designed to inspire people and give them the ability to do that.
And, boy, I know that the listeners want to jump to some empowering questions that they can ask themselves, and I'm going to give that to them a little bit later. We're going to tease you guys. Todd is actually going to share with us at least three gems from Awakening Self that will help you raise your consciousness, and I'm really excited about that. The one thing I did think of was, I don't know, listeners and Todd, if you're familiar with the Socrates quote, learning is remembering. But when I was exploring Todd's work, seemed like the Socrates quote, learning is remembering, tied right into awakening self. And awakening self almost seems to build a beautiful foundation upon that Socrates quote, in which we can adventurously jump, kind of like Wile E. Coyote, into the unknown field of all possibilities. When you hear me say that, Todd, with the Socrates quote, learning is remembering, and tying that into awakening self, is that a fair connection?
Absolutely. The idea of remembering yourself and being able to, there's nothing that anybody can teach you that you don't already know. The challenge is the concept of remembering or re-tying back to that wisdom. And we spend our whole lives with teachers and with gurus and with people who are sharing with us their perspective, their unique understanding of the world. But you go back to some of the great minds and look at what Socrates has written and look at what other people have written when they are in that place where they remember themselves and they are able to make that connection back to themselves. This is what you're wanting to do, because when you look at the grand scheme of things, everybody looks at the world and says, oh, it's too overwhelming. There's just too much to do. There's too many things to fix, and I don't know where to start. The answer is remember yourself. You get back to yourself and you fix you. That fixes things within your perspective. That fixes things within your world, and it starts, the world would have no option but to change with you if everybody started doing that.
You know, just hearing you say that, I felt the energy flow through me, and it seemed like the world shifted just a slight bit. Just the connection between you speaking it, me hearing it, and our listeners taking it in at the same time. That was kind of a powerful moment. I have goosebumps right now. Thank you for that. That was awesome. I was intrigued by, there was two pieces that I noticed in exploring your work. There was the idea of the difference between dreaming and awakening, and there was the idea of the difference between changing and awakening. And I loved how you made that distinction between what it is to be dreaming and what it is to be awakening, and what it means to be changing and what it means to awakening. Do you think you can explain that to our listeners in a way that will make sense?
That was the pinnacle of a lot of build up and prep within the book. Essentially the idea is that if you look at where you are in this world, and if you believe that there's more to you than just the meat suit you're sloshing around inside of, there comes a point where you start asking yourself questions about the illusion of your perspective, and that causes change. That is a conscious understanding of change. When you get to the point where you are able to quiet your mind while you are awake and think about these types of things, that when you're dreaming, your mind gets even more active, and you can find yourself in a place where it's changing your reality just through your dreams, and it all gets back to the concept of what is it that is real, and how do I affect change in what is real, and then when you start looking at what is real, you start asking the question about illusion.
You know, you just sparked a couple of different ideas that I didn't even plan on discussing, but I'm just going to throw it out there because this is so fun. I noticed that one of the questions that I bumped into was I am, which is in your work. It's in, you know, I was first introduced to that question by Wayne Dyer, and I love that question. I love answering that question for myself. The other thing that popped up as you were speaking just now was there's a mantra that I say to myself every day, which is three parts: quiet the mind, focus on your breathing, and be the observer to your thinker. And as you were speaking just then, that quote, I wasn't saying it inside my head. You were speaking, and I was seeing it and feeling it inside my body. So you were stimulating a mantra that has become a staple of my day, and I'm really digging that. I wanted to get back to the I am really quick before we do a little halftime show and say that you said meat suit, and I actually, part of the way that I describe who I am is a spiritual being experiencing life as an American of African ancestry. And when I talk about being an American of African ancestry, I describe that as being my earth suit. And I remember having a conversation with Mary Ann Williamson, the author of return to love. And she used the term meat suit. And this is the first time I've heard it since that discussion with Marianne. So listeners, whether it's your earth suit or your meat suit, remember that who you are inhabits your earth suit or your meat suit. And if you get too caught up in the earth suit or the meat suit, then your journey to awakening, your journey to remembering is slightly more challenging. So from what I understand, Awakening Self by Mr. Todd Barandi gives us about 100 questions and options for you to inquire within and raise your consciousness. Did I get that, Todd? There's about 100 plus questions that allow us to inquire within?
Absolutely.
And when you heard me say earth suit in relation to meat suit, did you get a chuckle out of that? How they're so close and yet they stimulate such a different visceral response.
It does, and it's interesting to hear different people describe themselves in different ways. And you know, when you look at what people have built around themselves and the illusions that they've created within their own perspectives, the word that follows, I am, is so important. Whatever the word is that follows I am is extremely important. If you can learn to stop yourself at I am, it creates a whole new space for you to live in.
Ah, so not just answering the question, who am I, but actually pausing at the mantra, I am ... and letting the universe and the unknown field of all possibilities fill that space. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. Yeah. And that's the idea of all the questions in the book. The book has over 100 questions. My hope would be that there is at least one question in there that people find is worth them spending time on. It gives them that spark. It gives them something that they can contemplate and maybe want to understand more about themselves.
I love it. I love it. We're going to go to halftime, but just so you know, listeners, we are hearing the Awakening Self musings of Mr. Todd Barandi. I'm the Empathy Guy, and we're going to do a little spirit, mind, body music in this moment. And when we come back, Todd's going to tell us a story about how raising consciousness and asking questions to inquire within has impacted his life or the lives of some of his friends. Be right back.
I give you props if your life is carefree. If not, I invite you to a new strategy. When someone comes at you, instead of feeling dread, hear this little ditty playing in your head. See me beautiful, see the best in me. That's what I really am, that's all I wanna be. It may take time, it may be hard to find, but see me beautiful in your mind. See me beautiful each and every day. Could you take a chance? Could you find a way to see me shining through in everything I do? And see me beautiful, let the love come through.
Peace, nonviolent communication. Printer, Simba to the Lion King. Shades of brown. Namaste. CNVC.org. Hey, dope. Triple D. Out.
And we're back. Welcome. If you're just joining us and you have no idea what's going on, you are listening to Simba Radio, brought to you by True North House Publishing and Productions. And we are talking to Mr. Todd Barandi, the author of the offering called Awakening Self, the exploration into inquiring within to raise our consciousness. Back with Todd. And now, Todd, I would love to hear an example of how you or maybe people around you have used the Awakening Self philosophy to make life more vivid and alive for you or for them or whoever you want to share a story about?
Sure. I'll put myself out on that branch.
Okay.
The journey here is all internal. So the saying that you're your own worst enemy is something that you encounter very quickly when you go on this type of seek and find, because you have to think a lot about what you know, what you've been taught, and what it is you're hearing from yourself, and where the conflicts really exist. And so one of the things that I started to realize as I was going through these steps and asking these questions of myself was that the closer I got to understanding more of myself, why emotions within me worked a certain way, what my truths are, how my perspective impacts the rest of reality, I started to realize that I was becoming more empathetic with other people, and I was starting to associate with them and understanding what was going on with them first. And that's unique. Mm-hmm. Most people are very centered on themselves. And so one of the interesting byproducts of this journey is I think the further you go, the more you're able to identify your own emotions. And as you start solving things within yourself, you start identifying emotions that haven't been solved in others. So you will start to get the impression and understanding that you know what's going on with other people.
I mean, for anybody who knows me, for any of the listeners who are like, man, that's right up Tony's alley, empathic connection is exactly the space that I love to hear people getting into, regardless of what strategy they use to get there. So to hear you share with us that awakening self has gifted you with the ability to create more empathic connection with other people is just fantastic to me. And I'm imagining as we raise individual consciousness along with creating empathic connection with others, when we raise consciousness of team humanity, we actually might be raising it into a form, synergizing with it in a way that we didn't even know was possible when we were raising our own individual consciousness. And the reason I'm saying that and kind of excited about it is when I thought about awakening self and raising consciousness, I thought, okay, learning is remembering. I'm going to raise my individual consciousness, and I'm going to contribute to the well-being of team humanity by raising consciousness as well. Yet I kind of saw it as a space with a not quite a ceiling, but a space where there was an already understanding of what was possible and what wasn't possible. And so when you just said that, I imagine, oh my God, it even expands beyond what I was calling the unknown field of all possibilities. It even goes beyond what I understand that to mean. I don't know if any of that makes sense to Todd or to anybody else, but it was really exciting knowing that the unknown field of all possibilities is actually a limit that I've placed in my mind of what that means, and we can go beyond that. Did any of that make sense, Todd?
It sure does. I think when you're looking at the limits of what's possible, a lot of people, just based on what society is selling today, a lot of people want to seek enlightenment. And they want to understand their light, and the reason is that feels good. That's a great place to be. But in order to get a complete picture of yourself, there's a balance. So it's important to understand the dark as well as the light, and so exploring beyond what is comfortable within a person, that's part of the questions that need to be asked and answered, because you will come face to face with some of that darkness. And as you get more empathic, as you start to feel things that are going on, there are stores that you'll walk into that just drain your energy. Just just completely drain you. And I'm not going to name the store that does it for me directly, but big box stores. there's some out there that if I walk into and I'm not ready for it, the energy can be overwhelming, and that shuts people down. And understanding that that's something to work through, that there is a dark side to what you need to understand about yourself, and it's just as important as where you decide to start this, which most people start in the light.
It's interesting that you said that, and I love the idea that what I'm about to say wasn't even on my radar a half hour ago. When I heard you just say the thing about the store and the energy and the discharge versus recharge, what popped in my mind was in the philosophy of mindful empathy that I share with people, we use the symbol of a giraffe as the language of the heart or the language of feelings and needs, in that the giraffe is the mammal with the largest heart of any land animal. So we use the symbol of a giraffe. In that symbol of a giraffe, we ask people in certain situations to put their giraffe ears on and prepare to either empathize with the folks that they're around, like going in the store that you mentioned, or to literally be able to self-empathize and connect with oneself as you're in there as a way to protect yourself. But when you said the thing about the store, it reminded me that certain people that I'm sharing mindful empathy with, I will actually in the moment ask them to put on their giraffe seatbelt, because it's one thing to put your giraffe ears on, but when you really need to protect yourself, the idea of strapping yourself in with empathy is a whole different metaphor for people to connect with. So when you just shared that about the dark and the light, I thought of that's the time when you strap on your giraffe, your feelings and need seatbelt, if you feel me on that one.
Absolutely. That makes perfect sense.
And speaking of feelings and needs, or feelings being the language of the heart, needs being the language of the soul, one thing that I noticed in exploring your work was the idea of false thoughts. And as an empathic fitness coach or somebody who shares mindful empathy with the world, one of the things that I do is help people, empower people to understand the difference between feelings, thoughts, and their emotional needs. So when I ran across the idea of false thoughts in your work, I thought, oh, that is exactly what I share with people. So I'm wondering, how do you help people understand what a false thought is?
That comes from a lot of questions, I think. And you can guide people to that path in a lot of different ways. Probably really quickly here, the direction that you're talking about is exactly where you would ask the questions to encourage people to get themselves. And so it will, the change or the transition a person would go through would be something like, and not exactly like, but something like, I experience these things cause an emotion. It's an immediate response. Why is your response immediate? Why do you have an immediate response? Who taught you that? If you walk into a room and you smell fish and you just fly off the handle and say, I hate fish, I can't stand the smell of fish, where did you learn that? What was it that taught you that, right? And so it's the idea of separating past emotions from your present. If you are truly living in your present, then your past will be known, but there won't be an emotion tied to that past. You will have learned to disconnect your present from that past and deal with that emotion.
Ooh, will you do me a favor and do our audience a favor and repeat the last 10 seconds of what you just said?
I don't know that I can, Tony.
It was brilliant about the residue of pain and having it attached to an emotion. If you are present in the moment, here's what I heard. I heard you say that if you're present in the moment, you can have the residue of pain be part of your understanding or your memory, but you are very aware that it's not in the present moment and that there's a thought attached to it. And if you can observe, if you can be the observer to the thinker, as we were speaking of before, then you can be free of that residue of pain, though you are still within the memory. So the idea of awakening self is to be present in the moment with your emotions and your emotional needs, and at the same time being able to release attachment to the residue of past pain that some people get shackled by.
Exactly. That's the idea of active thought and separating it from false thought, because your present is all you have. You can consider the future and you can think about the past, but the present is really all that you have for certain. And so staying in the moment and not allowing past emotions to affect where you are presently is a feat. It takes time. It takes a lot of questions.
And now you just stimulated another thought in my mind, and I think it's a present moment thought, even though it's a present moment thought about something that I learned in the past. But learning is remembering, so I'm actually present in the present. If anyone caught that, please send me an email at tony@theempathyguy.com. What I wanted to say was, hearing you say that reminded me of one of my favorite Eckhart Tolle quotes that I use as a mantra as well every day, besides being the observer to your thinker that I was talking about before. And that is, every day I say to myself somewhere during my yoga routine, let go of the past, let go of the future, live in the now, and be present in this moment. And as much as I know that idea intellectually, when I say that mantra to myself daily, it is amazing what washes over my body and gets released from the previous day. It is absolutely a privilege to be able to be present in the moment, and yet at the same time, it's who we are. And I'm really excited because who we are right now, listeners, is we are about to get some takeaways from Mr. Todd Barandi, some awakening self takeaways, some gems. But before you get the gems, and Todd has them ready to go, before you get the gems, I wanted to actually talk about one gem that I took away that reminded me of the work that I do in the world. So I'm giving you a gratitude, Todd, and I'm sharing a gem with the listeners at the same time. And here is the gem that I discovered in the exploration of your work that reminded me of one of my favorite quotes. Your wisdom, at least the way I understood it, was that questions was around whether we are being – oh, it was the question, are we being led by our spirit or by our wounds? So let me say that again, listeners, because I kind of muffed on that. Todd shared a question about being led by your spirit or being led by your wounds, which fits right into what he was just sharing about being present in the moment. You're able to release attachment and the emotional pain of the past. And the wisdom that I had learned that really connected this question, this gem for me, Todd, was the idea of following your intuition, the guiding energy source emanating from love and abundance, but not being led by your out-tuition, the projection of prejudgment coming from scarcity and fear. And listeners, I'm going to say that one more time. So Todd poses the question, are you being led in life? Are you being led by your spirit or by your wounds? Get it? Your spirit or your wounds? And I was saying I connected with that gem in the idea of follow your intuition, that guiding energy source emanating from love and abundance, but don't be led by your outtuition, the projection of prejudgment coming from scarcity and fear. So now I'm going to wonder if Todd is like, dude, what are you talking about? That has nothing to do with what I said. Or if Todd's going to say, yeah, I see the connection. So what's the verdict, Todd? Do you see the connection between my intuition, outtuition phrase and your spirit wound question?
Absolutely. Actually, you just gave away one of the takeaways that I had for folks. So you're right where the universe wants you to be, Tony.
Wow. Did you catch that, listeners? So I was going to give Todd gratitude for a gem that I picked up on, and I was going to share that with you at the same time. And then I was going to have Todd give us three gems out of the 100 that he has to share with us, and I happened to choose one that he was going to share as well. The synchronicity in that is amazing. And hopefully Todd can, in this moment, replace that one with a third one and give you, the listeners, three gems, three takeaways. I'm going to actually say three juicy takeaways in the form of his favorite awakening self questions. So the floor is all Todd's for gems for our listeners.
Okay, thanks. So the first question is related to perspective. And the question is, how is it that your perspective is unique to the reality of others?
How is it that your perspective is unique to the reality of others? That's juicy. Listeners, are you writing that down? I'll give you a quick second, and then we will move on to question number two, unless Todd wanted to explain question number one a little bit more.
I think that the foundational understanding of a person's perspective and how they get to that perspective, when you really start looking at what builds that perspective, and the book spends a lot of time talking about this, but when you start looking at how your perspective is built, that question, you might even beat me to the punch if you're reading the book, but that question comes up very quickly in the book about what your single perspective means to how you view reality and how others view your reality. So that's the first one.
There you go, listeners. There was your first gem, your first takeaway from Mr. Todd Barandi, Awakening Self Philosophy. All right, number two.
Number two is probably more of a takeaway, an opportunity, and that is when you look at how you spend your time. You had mentioned that you do yoga, and yoga is the opportunity to quiet your mind and be with yourself. And I think that a lot of people spend a lot of time with listening to other things and listening to other people, listening to music. Everybody's got iPods in or are distracted by media and TV. So the challenge would be to get into your car and not to turn on the radio. And how long can you do this before you have to turn the radio back on? And ask yourself at that point, is your need to turn the radio back on a distraction to keep you from having to listen to yourself?
Will you repeat that for our listeners? It was juicy.
Sure. So next time you get in the car and you're on your way to work, rather than turning on the news station or turning on music, leave the radio off and go to work and allow your mind to wander and allow your mind to be there with you. If you do yoga or you do any other type of meditation, you're effectively doing the same thing. But the question is, how long can you stand it before you have to turn the radio back on? Some people will see that they do it out of reflex. They don't even realize it. Before they know it, the radio is back. The radio is on. So is this a distraction from listening to yourself?
Wow. So there you go, gem number two. And just for the listeners, a little insight into my experiences, I do yoga, meditation, and exercise to motivational DVDs, specifically Marshall Rosenberg sharing nonviolent communication philosophies. And then when I get into the car on the way to the gym, there's nothing on. I'm in total observation mode and running mantras and affirmations. And at the gym, I actually, and don't tell anybody this, I actually have headphones on, but there is nothing being played. I am literally using the headphones as a way to request privacy from other people so that I can dive within during that hour of aerobic workout. And if I flip the headphones off, that's an invitation to connect. And I love the ability to do that. And then on the way home, my actual dessert, my cherry on top, is I actually will listen to audiobooks when I do finally turn the radio back on after 3 hours of inner awakening. I will listen to Eckhart Tolle or Wayne Dyer or Deepak Chopra or Tony Robbins. And that is, when Todd says the radio and turning it on, for me, that's actually turning on an audiobook. So music would be the last cherry, the last thing I would do during the day. And it is amazing how helpful and enlightening what Todd is describing can be. So I'm really affirming gem number two. And now we're ready for gem number three.
Okay. Gem number three, I'm actually going to put you on the hot seat a little bit, Tony. And I think this will be fun. I'll ask you the question. You can consider it. And any time you feel the need to tap out, feel free. Because this is the other thing about this is when you're exploring yourself, there really are no wrong answers. And this is about a journey with you within yourself. So people need to be patient with themselves, and so that's very important. So the third gem is to think about this question. The question is, what truth have you not been taught by another person?
What truth have I not been taught by another person? I would say, and it's amazing because I'm not sure if I even took that much time to contemplate it, but the first thing that popped in my mind was being 4 years old and knowing that who I was as a human being was just as magnificent as the other members of my Montessori classroom. And nobody ever said, you are just the same. In fact, I was getting the message, your shade of brown isn't as light as other people. And even though I'm telling you, you can do anything you want in the world, my energy is kind of telling you that our country has a history, and that history has some challenges for people who are Americans of African ancestry. So the truth, to answer your question, the truth that I have known that wasn't taught to me was that the amazing being that resides within this earth suit is just as magnificent and phenomenal and spectacular as any other energy that resides in any other earth suit, because it is one in the same energy. And even though I've been reminded of that, even though I've had it reinforced, that was a truth that at 4 years old I remember consciously knowing.
Okay, so if you think about what a truth is, and the listeners can think about this as well, my question would be, are you defining a truth or are you defining a wisdom?